You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Mark Walton and Chris Pimlott on their way very, very soon to look through some of the racing on Thursday. First, a quick reminder of some of the great offers we have for you in the world of racing. Whether you go into a William Hill shop or you go online and look under the Your Odds sections on the racing today, loads of winning distance markets, markets that combine a few meetings. For instance, total winning distances at today's five UK meetings, each to be over 10 lengths. That's priced up at 4-1. The combined winning distances at today's five UK meetings to be over 100 lengths is 6-1. We've got the likes of all the races at each of Sandown and Carlisle to be won by over a neck. So every race at both tracks to be won by over a neck, 14-1 if you fancy that. Few on individual horses as well. If you fancy any of these at short prices, these may well interest you. What about Brimham Rocks and the 210 at Haydock today? To win by over a length is priced up at 7-2. Now, at the time of recording, Brimham Rocks is priced up at 15-8 to win that. So to win by over a length is priced up at 7-2. We've got the likes of, what about Queso running in the 2:30 at Ripon and Sayedi in the 2:40 at Haydock. Both to win, simply both to win, is priced up at 6-1 if you like that double. Some of these markets as well will be enhanced in our happy hour, 12-1. So if you're listening to this podcast before 12 noon and you can get into a William Hill shop, then some of these, four of these, will be enhanced, made even bigger for 15 minutes each. But it's between 12 and 1pm. We may well enhance some online as well. So keep an eye out on all these markets. These are the 16 great offers in any of the William Hill shops on Thursday, the 8th of June. Or you can check out our website under the specials and your odds sections to find some of the enhanced odds there as well. Mark Walton and Chris Pimlott coming up for your pleasure.
Yes, hello, welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's action on this edition. You can hear us all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Sam Norris, Ross Brierley and Rory Delaghi in the studio. We have racing from Haydock, Ripon and Bangor in the afternoon, so racing on the flat and over the jumps. And then an evening of flat action, Carlisle and Sandown on the domestic front, and a good card over in Leopardstown, which has a couple of listed races there. So plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Chris Pimlott. How are you, Pimmy?
Oh, very good afternoon to you, Mark. I'm in tremendous form, but eat tremendous form. Still licking my wounds from my so close but so far podcast of last week with a couple of winners. A 16-1 shot beating the neck, and the good thing, getting beaten in the Oaks. Dear, yeah. Oh dear. So, yeah, it was so close yet so far. So we must do better, as the school port once said. And the other part of the report was worked when watched, which could possibly been on your report as well, young fellow.
Yeah, yeah, we'll keep an eye on you through this podcast. If you stay focused, Pimmy, we might get all four winners.
Yeah, but again, concentration's not my strongest point, no. As you know.
No.
I do seem to go off on a tangent, don't I? Yeah. For whatever reason.
Yeah, well, it does make it...
And that's before
makes
alcohol.
Makes you who you are, Pimmy. Makes you who you are.
Indeed, a fool.
You said it, not me. Let's have a chat about some news as well, Pimmy, before we get stuck into Thursday's action. Big news in the paper over the last couple of days in the racing news is the turmoil, really, that Godolphin are in, and it's led to John Ferguson now stepping down from his position. What on earth is going on with the boys in blue, Pimmy?
This is nothing new, is it?
Well,
you know what I mean?
I suppose not, yeah.
They employ a trainer, they sack a trainer. They employ a jockey, they sack a jockey. You know, this is nothing new for Godolphin, only that this is possibly one of the main flag bearers of the organisation, John Ferguson. He's been with them for years. I thought when he got this new position as a chief executive that he might just take them back to where they used to be in the years when Dawn Approach was winning the classics for them, or again to the position where they'd like to be, where on the big days they've got competitive horses in the big races. And obviously that's not quite been the case this year. There's obviously been a rift between himself and Syed bin Sarur, but why they have to do their dirty washing in public. That never ceases to amaze me, really. Certainly, our superpower from across the Irish Sea, that wouldn't happen with those boys, that's for sure. And again, it just all a bit messy and a bit, well, we've seen it all before sort of thing. Mm. And I think possibly this is more than likely a bit of their undoing, isn't it? That they don't seem to have an opportunity where they all come together.
Yeah.
You know, there seems, well, he's got better ones than me and I've got better ones than him and he's got slower ones than me and I've got faster ones than him. Well, actually, you're meant to be all on the same team. You're all working for the same man, the same organisation. So, you know, what goes around will come around, so to speak. But that certainly doesn't seem to be the case with them, does it? So, yeah, we'll watch this space. And I don't think it augurs well, that's for sure. You know, they're not... The lads, as Aidan likes to call them,
yeah,
they won't be panicking too much, will they?
Well, I don't think they will at all. I mean, there's the problem for Godolphin that they don't use Coolmore Stallions, which is obviously having a massive effect on what two-year-olds they come up with, and their recruitment doesn't seem to be quite working either. They buy a lot of horses after they've been on a racecourse. Harry Angel, for example, who's going to Royal Ascot next week, they've bought into that rather than producing it themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where does it change for Godot? How do they get out of that?
Well, again, they certainly got to think the breeding strategy,
yeah,
that's for sure. But by the same token, are Coolmore going to let them back in? I can't imagine so, can you?
I don't see why.
Why not?
Would, yeah. Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting one. Why not then say, OK, we won't buy all these untried ones. We'll wait till somebody comes up with one and then we've got the firepower, the money to go and buy it, we'll go and buy it.
Hmm.
Providing they go and buy it and leave it with the trainer who's got it.
Yeah, as we've seen with Ribchester.
Well, Ribchester was getting it, and a few others they bought into and kept it with the trainer. In the past, they used to buy it and bring it back under the banner of Godolphin's trainer, and often that didn't work either. Mm. So if a trainer can produce the horse to a level where you're happy to go and spend large amounts of money on it, then surely he's capable of continuing to train it. And that's worked for them. That's one of the few things that's worked for them, that's for sure. And again, who knows? They might just be better off saying, listen, lads, we'll forget about it all. we'll just go and buy the best when they come available, leave them with the guys, and run under there. And there's your P45.
Yeah. Well, that was going to be my next question. Do they need to retain trainers? Why do they need two bases? Well, why don't they just buy into the best of everywhere?
Well, that's right. And again, Warren Place, there's going to be a new trainer coming into there shortly.
Yeah.
So that means they're going to have three trainers.
Yeah.
So there's going to be even more falling out, you know.
Mm.
So, I don't know. I don't know how it's going to work for them, really. Like you say, they could just say, forget about it all, and we'll just buy the best available and run it under the Godolphin banner. I suppose that's a very short-sighted way of thinking, but...
Perhaps. Yeah. I think they still want to create them themselves, and they still want to have the operation.
Yeah, but it's not happening.
No. Well, yeah.
You know, I mean, off the top of my head, I can't think of something that Godolphin have bred under their own banner that's been a superstar of late.
Is Far probably the last one, the last Group 1 winner that they bred themselves?
Was it?
Maybe. Not sure.
Yeah. Well, I'm not.
They don't spring to mind, do they?
No, instantly. They don't. But there we go. And then talking about teams, great teamwork at the weekend for Aidan and the lads, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, with the outsider of the party getting the glory in the team this time.
And I quote, he's a world-class jockey.
Podrick Beggy.
Yeah. Who was having his seventh ride of the season.
Yeah.
How does that work? You know what I mean?
It's not like Aidan O'Brien to not put a positive spin on things, is it?
Well, no, exactly. That's, I mean, he goes the other way.
Yeah.
He over-eggs the team bit, doesn't he?
Yeah.
You know,
he's the best jockey we've ever had.
He goes the other way, to be fair, and maybe overdoes it.
Yeah.
He's a little bit like a robot now, isn't he?
Yeah.
But, they obviously are just ahead of the game, aren't they?
Miles in front, aren't they?
Ahead of the game. Whether they wanted the jumping Sally and Pour Moi to breed a Derby winner, I'm not so sure.
Mm.
I think if they could have run the race again, they might not have gone quite so hard up front. And that possibly could have then let the Ryan Moore horse win.
Well, we're on the subject of Wings of Eagles and the Derby winner. We're going to see him again in the Irish Derby. He's going to have a rematch with Cracksman, who finished third, of course, in the Epsom Derby. We've got him priced up as 9-4 joint favourites. I think Cracksman was originally a clear favourite in the market, but 9-4 Cracksman and Wings of Eagles. Waldgeist is then 7-2, Capri 10-1, and Douglas MacArthur is 16-1. So I believe that's three of the five there that are Aidan O'Brien's and the Coolmore operation.
I think Capri's got a puncher though, so you can forget about that one.
See, you're done there, yeah.
Yeah.
Ford Capri.
Exactly.
What about the big two then in the market, Cracksman and Wings of Eagles?
I think on a more conventional track that Cracksman will get his revenge. I think they went very, very hard in the Derby, and that actually played to the strengths of Wings of Eagles, obviously, because he came with a blistering burst of speed, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Which the others couldn't particularly come up with because they'd lost the stamina by then, sort of thing. But Cracksman, to be fair, didn't look particularly at home on the track. He looked fairly unbalanced. Again, that was only his third race of his career, was it?
Yeah.
So, you know, he was fairly unexposed as well. And I think just the run, the education will have done him the world of good. And I think if I was to have a bet on the two of them, it would be definitely Cracksman.
Yeah. I think that just the fact that they couldn't run him in the Dante due to the proximity to the Derby and the ground maybe just played against him on the day, but
yeah,
he's obviously going the right way.
I think it more than likely did. I think if he had just got that run under his belt in the Dante, would have just given him that little bit more education, a little bit fitter, and, you know, just a bit more streetwise, really.
Mm. 29th of June, I believe, the Irish Derby is, so we'll have plenty of time to go into that in more detail.
Well, that's good, because it just gives them a nice gap between the two derbies, doesn't it? You know what I mean? Just certainly physically and mentally for them as well, because, you know, it's a big day for them mentally, that Derby day, because there's so much more going on than would normally happen on the race course. I think that gap is healthy.
Be interesting to see what the Coolmore spin is after the Irish Derby. Should Wings of Eagles go and win that as well? Because then he's a dual Derby winner. I know he was unfancy for the Epsom one, but then he becomes a superstar in his own right, doesn't he? Rather than a surprise winner.
Yeah, so. And again, I think, you know, the way the guys are talking on the telly prior to the race, you know, you never get a bad Derby.
No,
and you know, what I think Willie Carson might have come out with a statement saying, you know, whatever wins is going to be a class horse in his own right. And he has won it, and he's won it on merit.
He has, yeah.
You know, so, he could just be one that slipped through the net.
Mm.
And it'll be a nice little fish to catch now, wouldn't he?
Yeah, certainly would. Right, we'll leave it there unless there's anything else in your mind, Pimmy.
No, not really. No, I think the weather, again, has just turned a little bit now. So if you're having a bet, certainly Thursday, Friday, beware, A, of the ground conditions, and B, also, if we do get a few dry spells, then that real soft, heavy ground that we've got for today, Wednesday, stroke Thursday, will be drying out, could come a little bit gluey and tacky. So ground conditions just need to be aware of the next day or two if you're having a little bet.
Yeah, very valid point. So let's move on to Thursday's action then. We'll get Pimmy's thoughts in four races on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, four races coming up for Thursday's action. We start at Ripon in there, 3:30, and this is a Class 3 handicap. It's over a mile. We've got a field of 11 set to go to post for this one. We've got some in-form runners, the likes of Gurkha Friend, who arrives here chasing the hat-trick. You've got the unknown quantity a little bit in carbitation, so quite an interesting race this, Pimmy.
Smashing little race, very competitive, not a bad prize on offer as well, just over 7,760 odds. So, yeah, good prize to be had, and a very competitive race. Carbitation is very, very interesting. Just had one run for the Omira Yard last year and did it very nicely indeed. Slow to go, ran a bit green, could do no more than win. 313 days since we last saw him, so, you know, a long absence, but that wouldn't worry me about an Omira horse as well. He'll be plenty fit enough if good enough. So he's interesting, no two ways about it. Gurkha Friend, as you say, comes here in cracking form, looking for the hat trick. And he is a course and distance winner in the past, which often is a Brucey bonus at Ripon. But I'm going to side with the Mickey's to be trained Roller, who's been in real good form of late. He's very, very consistent, this fella. He could possibly be priced up as an each-way option as well. And I think, again, the Mickey's to be bandwagon has been rolling fairly well of late. And I think this well could be another winner for him.
Yep, Roller to keep the bandwagon rolling then, in that case, Pimmy.
Indeed.
Yeah, well done. Roller the selection for Pimmy in the 3:30 at Ripon then. The next race that we look at is the 3:40 at Haydock. A Class 4 handicap. This is over 6 furlongs, a field of 8 set to go to post for this one. Quite an open, tricky sprint handicap, really.
Yeah, I thought it was very, very tricky. I think the main thing is about this race is not many of the eight come into the race on the back of a real exciting run. And that would be my slight concern, you know. I think Amood will be one of the favourites. He ran well enough when finishing third last time out. But again, he's one from 32 on the turf. So again, not ideal. Reasonably capable on the artificial surface. You've got Signor Piccolo, who ran well enough in defeat last time out. And certainly he won't mind the soft ground conditions at Haydock Park tomorrow afternoon. But the other one I'm going to go for is Art Collection. He had two successes on the artificial surface at Newcastle back in the springtime. Not entirely sure that he'll go on the ground, but I think if he does go on the ground, then he's the one they've got to beat. So he's, again, from a yard that's in rampant form, that of Ruth Carr. Her horses are often best punted when they are in good form because they're either in or they're out. And at the minute, they seem to be in.
Yeah, they do. The yard in good form. She's had a couple of winners and several placed horses over the last 7 days. So the yard going along great guns. Art Collection, the selection for Pimmy then in the 3:40 at Haydock Park. We move on to the evening action next. And we take a look at the 7 o'clock at Sandown. Class 4 handicap over a mile for this one. Several of these unexposed arriving here with wins in their last outing as well. It's a race where we might see one or two nice ones come out of it, or future winners come out of it as well.
Proper race, this. Mm. Real proper race. Simply because the three-year-olds, there's a lot of them that are fairly unexposed. Dancing Breeze, unexposed from that top yard of John Gosden's. You've got Glorious Forever, Ed Walker, Jamie Spencer. Me Too Nagasaki is an interesting one. Surrey Hope was a winner last time out, as too was Envoy. Obviously, these are only winning the maidens, but there could be an awful lot more to come from them. Alma Reb's an interesting one for the Hannon Yard as well. Pivoline, again, in at the deep end last time out, and again, was a winner of his maiden there on the back end of last year. Vantage Point ran well in defeat last time. Glory of Paris, again, from the very much informed yard of Rod Millman. Now, watch out tomorrow. Look at that William Hill Naps table. And if the boy Millman...
He's not on it anymore.
Is he not? So if the boy Millman happened to come into the map table just for tomorrow, yeah, and he tips up this Glory of Paris, then you know to take heed.
Yeah.
But seeing he's not in the Naps table, we'll completely forget about that. Put a line through that.
One thing you can say is look at his Twitter, at JR Millman, because he does tweet quite often if he fancies one of his...
Does he really?
Yeah. So
how do you do that then?
So go on to Twitter, and then you search for at JR Millman. That's his name on Twitter.
All right.
And then you
Judge James.
No, it should be Judge James.
Shouldn't it just?
Yeah.
And obviously, Chance to Dream. That's something that we all do. Who's horse number 12 on the card there? But anyway, let's stop this rampant chat. Me to Nagasaki is my idea of the winner. To be fair, he, again, ran really well on ground that he's going to get tomorrow. And I think that's the big thing for him now, that he's going to be able to cope with the heavy ground. He won on that at Doncaster. And certainly he looks like to me to be a leading player. James Doyle takes the mount. And me to Nagasaki will do for me in a competitive race that more than likely one or two will go down into your tracker.
Yeah, get the notebooks out for that race, certainly. Me Too Nagasaki, the pick for Pimmy. And we move on to the final race that we look at, the 8:20 at Carlisle. A class 4 handicap over the extended mile and 3 furlongs, a field of 8. Set to go to post for this one. And Rainbow Rebel caught my eye here, Pimmy. Has form on soft ground in the past, a previous course winner as well, which is always a positive at Carlisle. And a cracking effort when second in the Zetland Gold Cup last time.
Yeah, good run by Rainbow Rebel. Again, to be fair, not many of these have been in good form of late. And there's not many that you can see that have actually won with the form figures. I think the only one is Lac Le Mans, who I think was a winner on the artificial surface at Newcastle when he won. But to be fair, you know, it's a wide open race where 8 of them go to post. So if you'd looked at something a bit bigger and better prices, you could do. But for me, if he can run to that level of form he ran to at Redcar last time out, Rainbow Rebel is the one they've all got to beat.
Rainbow Rebel then for Pimmy in the 8:20 there at Carlisle. As usual, a little bit of a summary before you go, Pimmy. If you just get your selections in order here, we'll have a rattle through them and confirm what you're going with on Thursday.
Well, we're here, there and everywhere tomorrow. Yes. And starting with the 3:30 at Ripon, the garden race course, as they like to call it. And I'm going to go for Roller for Mick Easterby and Nathan Avance. Travelling over to the Pennines now to Haydock Park. And we're going to go for Art Collection in the 340 there. And then down the M6 and across, I think, to Sandown. Well, who knows? Ken Pitterson could be paddock side, could he?
He may well be.
You know, for that night racing there. And in the 7 o'clock, the Rainbow Trust Children's Charity Handicap, the selection is going to be me to Nagasaki. And then round the M25, I should think, up the M1, join the M6, off left, Carlisle. Here we come for their 20 past 8, Rainbow Rebel.
There you go. He's even give you directions of how to get there.
Good.
Be some day trip, that, wouldn't it?
All wouldn't the way around.
I don't think you'd make the races, but...
That'd be a nice little trip out, though, wouldn't it? Yeah, I might do that on my day off.
Good,
tomorrow,
yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Well, it would work, wouldn't it, tomorrow, seeing as these selections are for Thursday?
Yeah. I'll do that tomorrow.
Good. Well, thank you very much, Pimmy.
Hey, my pleasure.
Enjoy it.
I hope nobody's gone to sleep after that lot.
Wide awake. Thank you very much. That's Pimmy's thoughts there on Thursday's racing. You'll hear it all live with Sam Norris, Ross Briley and Rory Delaghi in the studio. We're live from 1:50 p.m. on William Hill Racing Radio. Haydock, Ripon and Bangor on Thursday afternoon. Carlisle, Sandown and Leopardstown throughout the evening. Plenty to get stuck into. Do tune in for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Thursday's action.
ACCA 5 is William Hill's new ACCA insurance. It means if you have a 5 selection accumulator and one lets you down, you'll get your money back as a free bet. And it's available across all sports. ACCA 5, exclusive to William Hill. T's and C's apply.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.